It's good to know that you got a God that will bring you through. And we can declare today that we are here and therefore we have made it. What a joy it is to know that God sees us through. Good morning to you. It is a joy and a privilege once again to be here at the Mount Olive Baptist Church. And particularly on this Men's Day, I celebrate our God and celebrate these men that God has blessed the Mount Olive Baptist Church to be with today. And what a joy to see so many men that God has given to this ministry. And that's a reason just to celebrate on its own. Amen. And as a matter of fact, these men really deserve a standing ovation simply because in the church today, there are not as many men as it ought to be. But these men are here, and surely we ought to give God the praise and the glory that's due unto his marvelous name for what he has done for us today. I am really happy that God has opened the door for us to share and to be here. Thank God for Pastor Jackson, who is my friend, and I pick no bones about that. That's for real. He's my friend, and you know that you have a friend who goes with you through the adversities of life, that have been there when you've had your low moments and still love you. And that's the relationship that Pastor Jackson and I have. And so I am grateful for him. More than that, I am grateful for how God has blessed him to bring leadership to this congregation. And for that, I give God praise, because when I think about Pastor Jackson, excuse me, when I think about Pastor Jackson, I think about Psalm 78, verse 72, I believe it is, that says, it talks about David, but it is applicable to this pastor, that he shepherd the people with the integrity of heart and with the skillfulness of hands. Amen. Amen. That's the person. That's the person that I see depicted here in the person of Pastor Jackson, as God has wonderfully blessed him, as I've watched this ministry grow over the years that I've known Pastor Jackson. The last time I was here, I think we just moved into this Family Life Center, and now as I've come back to see the renovation that's taking place in the worship auditorium, and then to see the excitement that I see in this worship experience today, I am grateful to see that this man is definitely a man who pastors with the integrity of heart and with the skillfulness of hands. And listen, when you have a gift like that in your presence, you ought to celebrate that gift and thank God for the gift that he's given to you in this body of Christ. Amen. Amen. We celebrate Lady Jackson today. Good to see you, Barbara, again. As we come to share this day, for she is a marvelous woman, and thank God for her love for the Lord, love for her family, love for her husband. I'm grateful for her as well, and always to see her smiling face in our presence. Amen. Good to see Michael on the Skins. Amen. Praise God for Michael, and thank God. Michael, my youngest son, Joshua, also plays the drums, and so we got to get y'all hooked up, amen, and it's just a joy to see him here in this place today. Do you know sometimes folks set you up and you don't really realize it until maybe a few days later and sometimes a day later? Well, Pastor Jackson and I went out to get something to eat last night, you know. And so we got to the place. He said, you know, there's a bookstore. There's a bookstore over there if you just desire to go and get a book or something. And so I didn't figure out what that was all about until today. I know you don't know yet, but I'm ready to help you out, man. And so when he was talking about when he's talking about this wedding and his picture being inside this magazine. I believe he was hoping that I would say, let's go over to the bookstore. And he was going to guide me to the magazine rack. And let me know his picture was in there. Because you heard him say that in Barnes and Nobles. You didn't hear him name any other bookstore but Barnes and Noble. And where we went, Barnes and Noble was in our face. Amen. And so, my brother. Amen. Amen. Don't worry. When I leave here, man, we're going by Barnes and Noble, man. I'm going to get a magazine. Amen. He said he's got one for me. But amen. Amen. I tell you, your friends, they'll do something to you, man. They'll even set you up to get beat on the tennis court. Amen. Amen. He probably knows that there's some 5-0 players in here that are just waiting to chop on Michael Black. And so, amen. And so I'm just grateful. I am delighted to be here today and to share with you on this occasion. And I trust that God will give us a word today that will take us out of this place enthused about the God that we serve and have a desire to serve him even greater than how we serve him now. And I trust today that God's going to speak into all of our lives, whether we men, women, boys, or girls, that as we celebrate on this Men's Day, that God would give us a word that will help us on this day. And so with that in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Beginning at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he had to prosper in his hand. So Joshua found favor in his sight and served him. Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So ended the reading of God's word. Today I want to just share with you for a few moments about the export of God's presence. The export of God's presence. There's no doubt that when you read these verses, the one thing that should jump out to you is that in verse 2 where it says the Lord was with Joseph. And not only that, the fact that the text says that, but there is really a sense of affirmation in the text, because it says that Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph. And then there is a result that comes as a fact that God was with Joseph. And so it is, as we look at this text, it really spoke to my spirit to say that there really is an export of God's presence when God's with you. And you can't have an export unless you've got an import. That you must have God in you in order for God to come out of you. For it to show up and to manifest itself, it must be that God has to be within you. As I think about this, there are times I've thought about in my Christian walk, that early in my Christian walk, I thought about there were times that I felt like I was in a dark room, and that God, I needed God to come in. I needed God to make his presence known. I need to feel him sometimes, but not only feel him, but there were times when I need to see his favor. I need to see him in operation in my life. Has that ever been the case in your own life? Have you ever been in a dark room and you really needed God to come in the midst of? And yet sometimes when I felt that God would come in, what I wanted from God was I wanted him to come in the room. And as I felt locked in, I wanted him to open up the room, just open the door so that I could go out then and play. But then as I began to grow, as I began to mature in my Christian life, what I began to notice is that God will come in the room and not only open the door, but I found out that sometimes he doesn't want me to go out and play. Sometimes he wants me to stay within for a while, but yet he will stay right in there with me. And I found out that as the Christian life goes on, that when I get stuck in tight places, I can do all that I can to free myself. But when I can't, I should pray that God would show up, and when he hears me, that he would get me out of there, unlock the door, and give me the blessings that I need. But sometimes he does not. Sometimes what God does is he stays right there with me, even like when he won't open the door because he wants me to go through something in my life, like when a marriage doesn't heal. Like when a rebellious kid keeps on rebelling, when friends betray, when financial reversals threaten our comfortable way of life, like when the prospect of terrorism looms, when health worsens despite much prayer, when loneliness intensifies and depression deepens, when ministries seem to die, God will climb through the small window into the dark room and won't walk past me, but will stay right there and sit with me on the floor and hang out with me until he's ready to bring me up from where I am and cause me to go out and do what he wants me to do. I wonder if I got any help in the room tonight. Listen, that's how God is sometimes. And when you mature in your life, you don't always want him to open the door and release you so you can go out and play. Sometimes what you want God to do is to stay right there with you through the midst of what you're going through, to help you through the trial and to have your his presence in the midst of your life. And so, my friend, the choice really is ours. Either we can keep asking God to give us what we think will make us happy, to escape our dark rooms and run into the playground of blessings, or we can accept his invitation to sit with him for right then in the midst of the darkness and seize the opportunity to know him better and to represent him well in a difficult world. I propose to you today, that's where Joseph is. That Joseph has reason to stay in a dark room. Joseph has seemingly come to the end of a vision that God had given him back up in chapter 37. But now, because he is now in slavery after being a favorite son, here he finds himself with a vision that really is going to start afresh in his life. I propose it to you this way. Have you ever been forced into a new start in your life where you weren't expecting that it was going to be a brand new beginning in your life? You weren't expecting something to happen such as a financial reversal. You were not expecting a death in your family. You weren't expecting to lose your job. You weren't expecting that things were just going to turn in your life. And it was a forced situation that caused you to be where you are. But it became a brand new start of a brand new vision in your life. And what happens for Joseph is that Joseph finds himself in that situation, and in that God is going to bless him in the midst of his life. Why? Because God is with Joseph. He is in his presence. He is right there with him. And I propose to you today that the presence of God makes a difference in our lives, whether you're up or whether you're down. I propose to you that the presence of God will make a difference. That's what Psalm 116 says, that you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Psalm 140 verse 13 says, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. There's something about the presence of God that makes a difference in our lives. And that's why I believe that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, when he prays for them in chapter 3, verse 17, he says that the Christ may dwell in your life richly. That word dwell means to be at home in your life, to be in a place where he is, like in the house, in your house, where you said, come on in and make yourself at home. As a matter of fact, take your shoes off. Listen, go in the refrigerator when you want to. Go in any room that you desire to go to in this house. That's when you say you being at home. And when the Lord says that I'm dwelling in you, he says, I want to be at home in your life. I want to be in the midst of your life, that I can go anywhere I want in your life and do what I want to do in your life. That's what Paul was saying. I want to pray that God would be at home in your life. And listen, that's the export. Or rather, that's the import, where Christ comes into our lives so that he can then begin to make a difference on the outside of our lives. So it's not just something I talk about, Christ being on the inside, but when he is on the inside, when he is dwelling in the midst of our lives, then something can happen on the outside that begins to make the difference of how we make it through life. And the text today helps us to understand what happens when the presence of God is in our midst. And the first thing that points out to me in this text is that when there's an export of the presence of God, you end up being an excellent witness for the Lord. It's right there in verse 3. And the master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. Listen, we must be good stewards of the presence and the power of God. It's not just to talk about that God is in our lives, but it's also to bring out the idea of his presence and his power is within the midst. And we've got to be stewards of that power and that presence of God in our lives. Listen, when we look at Joseph, Joseph did not do this work half-heartedly. He was industrious. He was resourceful. He was diligent. He was dependable. You could trust in Joseph. Why? Because he was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a witness for God. God was in his life, and therefore he had a reason to wallow in his misery. But when you watch him, he's a witness for the Lord. Listen, that's what God needs today. He needs some witnesses. He needs some men that are going to stand up for him. He needs some men that are going to speak up for him. He needs some men that will say, yes, God, you are in my life. You made a difference in my life when I was slipping in sin, when I was far from you, when I didn't have you on my mind, when I was hanging out in the clubs, when I was doing my thing. You saved me. You snatched me. You brought me out of a muck and a miry clay. You put me on solid ground. You made a difference in my life. Now, therefore, since you did that for me, since you imported yourself within my life, I'm going to do something that begins to say to others, listen, Jesus saves. Jesus changes. Jesus transforms. Jesus makes a difference in one's life. I'm going to be a witness for him. And listen, in this day and time, there is a need for some witnesses for God. There's a need for some folks to stand up and speak for God. Because listen, the Egyptians had many gods that were symbolized by sun and sand and beasts and insects and rivers and fertility. But none of them could produce blessings like God. And listen, the Potiphar said, I see that God is in the life of Joseph. Listen, my friends, there's some folks out here today needing to see that they are trusting in some gods of their lives. Gods that do not produce blessings. Gods that do not answer them. But yet they're trusting them because they're looking for something. Can I stop by today to tell you that, listen, men and everybody in here, that God's got something in within you that if you stand up and begin to witness and live out for God, that somebody's going to notice that the God that you have bring blessings. They're going to look at your life and say, yes, you might not have everything you want, but God is prospering you. God is doing something in your life. There's something about your life that means different, that looks different than what I'm experiencing in life. God needs some witnesses. God needs some persons who are going to stand up and say, yes, my life is different now. I'm going to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to let my light shine so that men may see my Father and glorify him. Witnesses. Joseph was an excellent witness because there was something about Joseph that folks saw the successfulness, and particularly Potiphar saw that he was successful and God was in the midst of his life. That's just the question for us today. Do he see us as witnesses? What does your life really exemplify? Does it exemplify that Christ is in your life? Does it exemplify that he really is in charge of your life? So when I look at Joseph, the lesson from the pages of this patriarch tells me, number one, that I've got to be a witness for him. That the export of the presence of God means that there's something I've got to open my mouth and say. There's something about my lifestyle that has to begin to exemplify that Christ is in my life. Does that mean that my life is going to be perfect? No, it doesn't mean that my life is going to be perfect. But listen, the consistency of my walk with God is going to say that God is in the midst of my life. Let me hurry. Listen, the text not only brings out the aspect of the export of the excellent witness of Christ, but notice in verse 4, it says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and he served him. And then Potiphar makes him overseer of his house and put everything under his authority. Oh, what a powerful statement. But listen, there was something that began to massage me as I looked at this text, because it was not just the aspect of that Potiphar found, that Joseph found favor and Potiphar made him overseer, made him a steward of his household, gave him authority. But I had to begin to think about the situation in which Joseph was in. And the situation that Joseph was in was that Joseph was once the favorite son, and now he's a foreign slave in somebody else's house. And because of that, he had reason to go through hurt and hatred and be in a pity party and stay in his situation. The second thing I learned about Joseph here that helps me is that in the midst of adversity, I need to really change the atmosphere and don't allow the adversity to affect my life. You didn't hear what I just said. That when I'm going through something, then I don't need to allow the adversity then to control how I operate in life. Because listen, adversity can mess up your vision. Adversity can keep you from wanting to move forward in your life. Adversity can make you sit down in a pity party and feel like you don't want to get up and do nothing, but just stay right there in your dark room and allow nothing to move, nothing to hear, nothing to read. Just stay right there in the midst of that and don't move in your life. Listen, adversity's got a way of bringing you down, but watch Joseph. Joseph adjusts to his new environment. I am no longer the favorite son with a coat of many colors. I don't have any authority in my daddy's house no more, but I'm in a foreign land, but I'm not going to allow my adversity to keep me down. He did not allow captivity to enslave his soul. He did not allow the ruthlessness of his brothers to embitter him. He acted, if you will, he reacted positively, not foolishly. And listen, the real lesson for us is don't allow hurts in your life to make you pessimistic and quit. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here today. Let me talk about black. Don't allow the adversities to come into your life and cause you to become pessimistic and quit. But watch Joseph. He handled adversity well. And one of the best medicines in adversity is to give ourselves energetically into our duties. Listen, don't forget that even though you've got an issue in your life, even though you might have a trauma in your life, even though you might have a trouble in your life, don't allow it to cause you not to be energetic about your duty. Start remembering, God is still giving me a family. God is still giving me a church. God is still giving me a job. God is still giving me some activities. I need to still be energetic about what God has given me and get about my duties, because when I get involved in something, something happens when I get involved in what I'm about, because then it changes my attitude, and something in the midst of this mind begins to change because I see a different outlook of how to walk now, because God is moving and I'm involved in what I'm doing, and I see something changing as a result of being involved in what God is doing in my life. Y'all not helping me today. Yeah. God wants to see something different in our lives. And what has to happen is you get involved in what God has already placed in your territory. And don't forget about it, but get involved in it. You start changing your whole outlook. And the reason for that is because God wants us to be victors and not victims. Don't you know that your adversities can either weaken you or they can strengthen you? See if I can open the window now. Your adversities can either weaken you or they can strengthen you. The caterpillar, and many of us are familiar enough to know that the caterpillar will end up being a butterfly. The problem is that some caterpillars don't end up being butterflies because some of us don't like the way they look when they're walking. Some of us think they're too squirmy. You know, they don't look too good. Amen. And rather than allowing them to get to their destination, we step on them. But listen, there's a lesson right there. The next time you see a caterpillar, realize it's on its way to beauty. It's on its way to being a butterfly. It's on its way to fly. And so the next time you get tempted to step on a butterfly, be reminded that if somebody stepped on you, then you might not reach the destination that God has for your life. And so listen, here's a lesson. The lesson is that the caterpillar becomes something beautiful because of the process that it goes through, a metamorphosis, that it goes through that process because something is at work on the inside trying to show up on the outside. Yeah. There is only, the caterpillar is moving its way to become something beautiful and something better on the outside because something's got to happen on the inside. And listen, there is only one reason a butterfly can fly. And its wings are strengthened by the work it does to break through the cocoon. And if the butterfly does not have the opportunity to break through the cocoon with its wings, then therefore it cannot fly. And if you were like me one day, Pastor Jackson, what I did, man, I had this new tree in the yard. I'm trying to watch this tree grow and I'm getting disappointed every day I'm watching it. And then I look out the window one day and I see a cocoon in my little tree. And I go over and I break open the cocoon with a stick. And all the caterpillars started falling down on the ground. And I didn't know this then, that what I was doing to those butterflies and the potential butterflies was I was keeping them from growing strong so that they could fly. And what God is doing in our lives is he's allowing us to be in some cocoons. Because he's working on something on the inside so that he can make something stronger on the outside. And what he's doing is he's giving us a cocoon where we've got to try to get our way out of the cocoon and fight our way out so that when we come out the cocoon, we'll have the ability to fly and to soar like birds and soar like butterflies with something beautiful. That's what God is doing in our lives. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So when we're going through something, God's getting us ready to fly. Because if there's no struggle, there will not be flight. And I'm like you men today. I don't want troubles, but I've learned that troubles come my way because God is building my strength. He's building my endurance. He's building my character. He's building my hope. And so therefore, he is preparing me to fly so that I can soar and be able to move in life. Struggles, but how I handle the adversity will make the difference of whether I'm blessed or whether I'm cursed. If I handle it with wellness and handle it with optimism, handle it with hope that God is going to bring me through it, I'm still the believer that believes that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that working within his name. When I trust him, and when I can't even trace him, I trust him that he's taking me through the struggles of life because he's causing me to want to mount up with a wing that causes us to fly. Joseph's power came because of the presence of God. Let you go home. There's one more thing in the text. It's right there in your Bible. It's in verse 5. Joseph not only was an excellent witness, not only did Joseph handle adversity, but watch this. Verse 5 says, so it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I want to tell you this today. You have worth. Amen. You have worth. Meaning this, that there is no blessing apart from God's plan for his people. That when men reject God, their blessings are usually byproducts of living with or near believers. Remember, Egypt, they've got their gods. Sand, sun, fertility, insects, those are their gods. But yet in Potiphar's house, it's blessed not only in the house, but the text says also in the field. And the reason that his house was blessed was because there was a godly man. A godly man was in Potiphar's house. A godly man who loved God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind. And everything in Potiphar's house was blessed because God's presence was on the inside of Joseph. And the presence of God gave favor on the outside that everything that was within Potiphar's purview was for blessing. Why? Because Joseph was in the house. I stopped by today to tell you that, listen, our communities, our schools, our homes, our churches are channels of blessings. Why? Because when godly folks are within the midst of God's people, and in the midst of even sinners, I tell you, something happens on the outside because there's something on the inside that makes the difference. If you want to bless somebody's house, just step in as a godly person. If you want to bless somebody's school, step in the midst as a godly person. You want to bless your home, stay in there as a godly person. Why? Because when God got you there, he's going to bless them. Some Sodom and Gomorrah's got blessed because there were some godly folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. Stay there. Don't quit. Don't leave. But stay in the midst of that. Why? Because God is going to bless. That's why you need to say to yourself today, I've got worth. I've got worth. I am somebody. Not because of who I am, but because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got worth. Oh, yeah. I'm glad about that today. I'm glad that I can go through adversity. I'm glad I can be a witness. But I'm glad I've got worth. That where I am, the blessings of God can flow. Where I am, the favor of God can go forth. I'm glad about that today. Are you glad that where you are, the blessings of God can flow? Yes. Yes. I thank God for what he's done for you. I thank God what he can do through you. I thank God that he's able to make it happen. I'm glad he can bring an import in my life, but then there's an export of his presence that makes the difference.
Yes! Mount Olive, you have not seen nothing yet. God's still working through you. You think this room is full. You got another building that God's going to build for you. You got some godly men that are in this place today. God's going to increase the numbers simply because you're in the house. He's going to bless your communities. He's going to bless your homes. He's going to bless you because you are in the place. He is able, I said, to bless you beyond measure. How do you know that, brother? I know that because Joseph ended up saving a nation. His vision looked dim when they sold him into foreign slavery. But thanks be to God that when God's on your side, it might not look like what you wanted to be right then, but if you just hang in there with God, something's going to happen. What he did for Joseph was he brought him up to that. He saved Egypt out of their famine, all because God had favor in his life. That reminds me of somebody else that God blessed through. His name is Jesus. Yes, his name is Jesus. Joseph saved a nation, but Jesus saved the world. Jesus came as a witness of his Father, but also he went through adversity. On a Friday, they crucified him on a cross. He hung there and died for our sins, but he didn't quit in the midst of his adversity. The scripture said he stayed on the cross. He stayed there in the midst of adversity. He died on Friday. They placed him in a tomb, and they thought they had won the victory. But I tell you, early Sunday morning, Jesus got up. Why? Because when God's got a vision for your life, he's going to see it through to the very end. He rose up with all power in his hand. And here we are today, saved. All because Jesus faced the adversity on the cross of Calvary. If you're saved today, you want to say yes, yes, yes.